A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and greetings from Cannes. It's Michael Leader here, sitting with Adam Woodward.
Hello.
In the Little White Lies flat. What do we call this? A flat?
Apartment.
A garret. We're here reporting for Truth and Movies from the Cannes Film Festival. Last night, the proceedings kicked off with the opening night film of The Dead Don't Die, directed by Jim Jarmusch. What are we going to be doing from Cannes this year, Adam? How's the coverage going to run out?
So, if anyone listened to our dispatches from here last year, it's going to be something similar, but we're going to throw in a few extra surprises, a few special guests, hopefully. All sort of TBC still. But yeah, we're going to just be reporting from the festival, I think trying to give listeners a bit of a flavour of what it's like to attend and to cover, well, I guess, the world's biggest film festival as a journalist.
And also, reviews will be running on the website for the duration.
Yeah, so Hannah will be appearing on this as well, but she's squirreling away with her review of The Dead Don't Die at the moment, so that'll be live on the website later on, hopefully.
So we've been here for two evenings so far. We've had two pizzas.
Yep.
Plenty more to come, I'm sure.
What was your favourite?
Pizza so far.
Because we haven't seen enough films yet to really have a favourite.
Favourite pizza. I had a pepperoni last night. It was a bit heavy, though. Mm. That's from La Pizza, the restaurant. I think the La Piazza pizza the night before might have been better. Have you had a favourite so far?
I would second that. La Piazza, I think, will be returning there a bit more regularly.
Mm-hmm. But we have seen one film so far, Jim Jarmusch's The Dead Don't Die. Should we go through some reactions to that we've had?
Yeah, I was just not long kind of woken up and gone on Twitter and sort of seen some of the reactions, mm-hmm. and it seems fairly mixed. I was quite mm-hmm. surprised. Actually, at the end of the film, there was a very muted round of applause from the press screening we were in. I thought it was a pretty fun opener.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, anything that's picked, whether it's in competition or not, anything that's picked as the opening film, I think Cannes has more of a tradition of having slightly more middling but entertaining, maybe mm-hmm. broader opening films. I think the first year I was here, the opening film was Midnight in Paris, the Woody Allen film.
Right.
I think the year after that was like Moonrise Kingdom, Wes mm-hmm. Anderson's film. So, you know, generally speaking, it's something that's going to ease you into the festival. Certainly, I think I preferred this to last year's opener, which was the Asghar Farhadi, Everybody Knows. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. This was sort of inspired by a song in a different way, we found out.
Yeah, fascinating, right? This song by, what was the name of the artist? Sturgill?
Sturgill Simpson.
Yeah.
I think he's a kind of fictional country folk singer.
He's a completely real country singer. He's had three albums out.
Right.
Yeah, this is an example of Jim Jarmusch picking, as he has in previous films, with, if you think about When Lewis Left Alive, where they talk about Jack White, or Coffee and Cigarettes, where they literally have the white stripes in mm-hmm. there, Tom Waits, etc. He will pick out his favourite musicians and say, you're going to be in my film.
Right.
And it's the title is from the song, which is, I think we can say, a theme song that appears in the film mm-hmm. quite a lot.
Yeah.
It's definitely a Jim Jarmusch zombie movie in every sense of the word. Mm. Exactly what it says on the tin, Ron Seal style, I'd say, isn't it? That deadpan humour, all of the actors you'd expect to be in Jim Jarmusch film. His own music populates the soundtrack with those squalls of distortion and guitar all the way through. All of his little thematic concerns and philosophical quandaries are in there. I must say, it was quite a fun opener for me, but maybe a little bit disappointing compared to his recent run of films.
Yeah, it certainly didn't have the, I guess, the central performance or the dramatic heft of something like Patterson, which mm-hmm. was, I think, his last film, certainly to pay here. And, you know, he's returning with Adam Driver. And I think the cast across the board are pretty good here.
Yeah.
Maybe not given a huge amount to do. Mm-hmm. Tilda Swinton, I think, was the star performer for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think on paper, Jim Jarmusch and the zombie genre are such a good match because, you know, you have two or three different types of kind of historic cinematic zombies. And you've got the 28 Days Later, mm-hmm. frenzied, furious, or you've got the classic Romero kind of stumbling, slow, ambling zombie. And Jarmusch is definitely, you know, I guess he grew up with those films and he's paying more homage to that. And his own laid back, slightly lethargic pace, I think, would suit that on paper quite well. I think this just runs out of gas a little bit because of that. The zombie effects and some of the more horror-inspired scenes, I think, are very good and very well executed. But there is a lot of this where it's just Jarmusch in kind of autopilot mode with his script. Yeah. This character's just kind of idly passing the time, I suppose.
Which is not something... It's not something I associate with him, really, autopilot. You think about his films, even when they don't work, they don't work because he's going so deep into his own head or following his own muse, films like The Limits of Control. I know Only Lovers Left Alive, the vampire movie, had its own mixed reaction, its detractors. I loved that film.
Mm, yeah, same.
Because it really was he was using the vampire mythos as a way of interrogating his own sense of what poetry and romanticism and art meant to him, and same with Coffee and Cigarettes as well. He uses these short vignettes as an exploration of everything that interests him. I don't get that sense here. I do wonder, all of its pleasures are these surface immediate pleasures, and many of those are up front in the cast listing. You have Bill Murray, Chloe Savini, Tilda Swinton, Tom Waits, Steve Buscemi, an incredibly stacked cast, and there is almost like the Avengers of the Jim Jarmusch world. If you've seen any of his films, or if you've seen all of his films, there'll be somebody from, I think, every film he's made popping up again in this.
Yeah, it's even like RZA from Wu-Tang Clan.
Yeah.
And you've got Danny Glover. Yeah, it is a real kind of greatest
hits. Even Esther Balint, all the way from Stranger Than Paradise, she pops up again. And Sarah Driver, who's his partner and long-term creative counsel and director in her own right, mm-hmm. she did the Basquiat documentary, I think we talked about on this very podcast last year. She pops up as well as one of the zombies. And it feels like he's almost surveying the cinematic universe that he's created himself and trying to do something with it here. But then there's not, I don't think there's necessarily much more to it than that, which doesn't have to be a problem. It's quite fun.
No, which is fine. I think it's a very hard film, I think, to dislike because, and this is not necessarily a negative or a criticism, but it feels like no one's really trying too hard with it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of a on the surface kind of movie.
Mm-hmm. But that's The Dead Don't Die. I suppose we can see what Hannah thought of it later on today when that review goes up. What else are we seeing today, Adam? So this is the first proper day of the festival.
Yeah, so the festival now, we've got a couple of competition films later on. I'm really excited for a film called Nighthawks. Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure. We saw a snippet of it during the opening ceremony yesterday, and it looks pretty wild. Mm-hmm. But it's a director called Kleber Mendonca Filho. Mm-hmm. And I think he had a film here a few years ago in Cannes. Mm-hmm. Generally sort of well regarded, so that should be a fairly hot ticket early on. You're seeing what sounds like a really interesting Cannes classic.
I'm going off into the weeds almost immediately here. So there are many sidebars and extra selections here. One is Cannes Classics, which is usually for restorations or documentaries about the art of cinema, and it's in a small cinema right up at the top of the Palais, and you can find some real delights there. In the past, I saw there was the documentary about Cary Grant. I saw there, what are the restorations of the, I can't even remember, but you'll find some good stuff. This year they have the opening film for Cannes Classics this year is an animated film. This is very much on brand for me, of course. Listeners will know that. It's a 1958 Japanese animated feature, one of the very first animated features that Japan created, called The White Snake Enchantress. I know nothing about this, but it's just popped up. It's been restored, but, you know, 60 years down the line. It's going to be a really fascinating watch. That's what's good about festivals. You can sometimes go off the beaten track and find something completely unique and different while everyone is engaging with the discourse over the competition films.
Exactly, and you'll see that everyone will end up having slightly different schedules and seeing things at different times as well. But I think we'll be trying to report on the the big stuff as we see it, but also some of the more interesting, curious stuff from the different sidebars.
Because that's something that people don't realise about Cannes, is that there is the official selection, yeah, which all is in one massive complex, you know, the Palais du Cinéma. But then there's Directors' Fortnight and Critics' Week, which are essentially separate festivals that just happen to be going on at the same time, and they're further down the beach. Mm. And it is a dedication of time. You have to walk out half an hour down the road to go to Critics' Week and maybe...
And queue up
in the sun or in the rain. It's been raining this morning. So think of us cowering under umbrellas, queuing for 2 hours with the awful critics' lot that we have. But I guess we'll be checking in again tomorrow?
Probably tomorrow. I think this first week is fairly front-loaded, so I think we'll be trying to keep people across the festival for now and then see how we go next week.
Who should we expect holding microphones in the future? More Truth and Movies regulars and familiar voices?
Yeah, familiar voices. I'm going to get a few people in across different aspects of the festival. So maybe some people from acquisitions roles, people who cover it as PR.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see, but hopefully we'll try and get a few interview clips as well. I'm actually interviewing Jim Jarmusch tomorrow, so
fantastic.
See if we can get anything out of that. We'll hopefully have a few nice surprises.
And we can update with pizzas as we go.
Yeah.
Adam, thank you for sitting down with me. I'm Michael Eder. This has been Truth and Movies, reporting from the Cannes Film Festival, brought to you by 7Digital.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.